chapter 61. We're going to see the anointing here. We're going to see the purpose of the anointing, but we're not talking about the anointing. We're going to start off with this. Amen. Isaiah 61. This is a Old Testament prophecy of what Jesus began to release in Luke chapter 4 in his ministry. Amen. No, we're fine. We're fine. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Come on, somebody say the Spirit is upon me.
The Spirit is upon me.
Watch this. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Somebody say good tidings. Anybody that's anointed should be teaching good news. Good news. We don't heard enough bad news. Amen. Good tidings. Unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives. Now watch this. Watch how the word is talking about the anointing, and the anointed word will bring a solution to every problem. Whenever you come to the table with a problem, somebody say, when I come to the table with a problem, Jesus comes to the table with an exchange. That exchange is a solution. You hear what I'm saying? God is never problem oriented. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. He's never problem oriented. Amen. If you come into a room with the Lord, amen, and you sit down, you begin to sup with him, he's not going to sit down and have a pity party with you. What he's going to do, he's going to come to the table with instruction and with a solution, amen, with a great exchange. That's what I call it. The Bible says to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to comfort all that mourn. Did it say to leave somebody mourning and some of them comforted? No. He said to comfort all that mourn. That means the anointing will bring comfort to anybody. Amen. Who will allow the anointing to have place in their life. Amen. Amen. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Look at the exchange. If you come to the table with ashes, he's going to give you what? The oil of joy for mourning. You come to the table with mourning, he's going to give you what? The oil of joy, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Raise your hands if you ever felt heavy in your life. Amen. When you come to the table, amen, and anointing begins to be deposited in your life or released in your life, God will give you joy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is good stuff right here. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Then it says, this is why right here. This is the reason why. That they might be called the trees of righteousness. Now, say this. Say, I am a tree of righteousness. Righteousness is not what you do. Righteousness is who you are. When you understand that you are righteous, amen, because of the blood of Christ, doing follows your whoing. Come on, somebody say amen. You spend more time focusing on who you are rather than what you're doing. It's religious to focus on what you do, because guess what? Every time you focus on your doing or your ability to please God in your own power, you're going to fail every time. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. You're going to fail every single time. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. It's the grace of God that will enable the believer to become everything that God has called them to be. As a matter of fact, in the mind of God, you are already blessed. You are already healed. You are already delivered. You are already prosperous. You are already married to the person you're believing for. You already have successful children. You already have the new car. You already have the beautiful house. In the mind of God, there's nothing missing, and there's absolutely nothing broken in your life, in the mind of God, because of what Jesus done on the cross of Calvary. Come on, somebody say amen. Okay? Now, we just have to appropriate that through faith. By hearing the word on a consistent basis, we began to appropriate and take it as our own. Amen? It says that they might be called the trees of righteousness. So let's just get to that spirit one more time. Say, righteousness is not what I do. Righteousness is who I am. And because I am righteous, I do righteousness. You catch that right there? Amen. It'd be like a person going and trying to operate on you and never went to school. They hadn't become a doctor yet. So they trying to operate before they become. So God is more concerned about you becoming. To as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Are you catching what I'm saying? On the inside of you is the power to become. My God. On the inside of you is the power to become. Well, becoming ain't something that is going to happen. The word become means to come into being. It means what you already are, you're going to begin to uncover. If you study the word come or coming, it means to uncover. It means to reveal. You better catch what I'm saying. It means something that was not there, all of a sudden you can see it. Primarily in the body of Christ, this is what we have to deal with. We have to deal with what we see. Because the problem is in what we see. It's not about what we do, it's in what we see. Because we are a direct reflection of what we see. You got to catch what I'm saying here. And I'm not talking about natural sight. I'm talking about spiritual sight. Our spiritual sight has been restored. We have to appropriate the restoration of that sight that has been restored. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God is not doing anything else. It's already been done. You got to catch what I'm saying. The Bible says that the Bible calls what Jesus done the finished work of the cross. Are you catching this? It's already done. When he hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That means everything concerning your salvation. What does salvation mean? It means wholeness. It means soundness. It means preservation. It means deliverance from all temporal evil in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm and in the material realm. And it means the ministering spirits, the angels begin to operate for you according to Hebrews 1 and 4. So in the mind of God, you already got the sum total of everything that you need to be successful in life. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Now watch this right here. It's about to get good. The reason why God is giving us that great exchange, and he has given us that at the cross. He's not going to give it to you. It's been given at the cross. The reason why is that you might be the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. Why? So that he may be glorified. So you can see clearly here that that exchange causes him to be glorified in a believer's life. When he gives you beauty for your ashes, God gets glorified. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Now watch this. It ain't done yet. Verse 4. This is the purpose of it. They shall do what? Build the old waste places. They shall raise up the former what? Desolations. And they shall repair the what? Waste cities. The desolations of what? Many generations. See, God is doing something in you because God wants you to do something in the earth. I'm going to repeat that again. God is doing something in you because he wants you to do something in the earth. I was teaching today, and I'm not going to go into it in detail, but the Spirit of God has been dealing with me about redemption. A lot of times we talk about redemption, and we see redemption as something that happened in the spirit realm. But there's four phases to redemption. And I want you to catch these because this is very important. We've been redeemed spiritually. Right now, the body of Christ is in the process of being redeemed in the soulish realm, which is your mind, your emotion, and your will. Catch what I'm saying? I'm saying some meat tonight because you can understand what's actually going on with you. Okay? So right now, the body of Christ is in the process of being redeemed in the soulish realm. But in the book of Romans, the Bible says the whole earth is groaning and travailing, waiting and crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. It didn't say the people were. It says the earth is crying out for the sons of God. And then the Bible goes on to talk about the full purchase of the possession, which is the body being redeemed. So there's the spiritual redemption, the soulless redemption, and your physical body being redeemed. The last phase of redemption is the earth being redeemed. Now you got to catch what I'm saying. God, instead of fixing the earth, he fixed the man. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, if God want to fix a household, all they got to do is fix a man in the household. If God want to fix a business, all he got to do is fix the owner in the business. Are you catching what I'm saying? He don't need to fix the productivity of the business because if the business produces and the owner is evil, guess what? Nothing is really fixed because as the owner is, so shall the business go. As the pastor is, so shall the church go. You better catch what I'm saying. As the husband is, so shall the family go. Amen. A lot of men don't like it when I tell them that your wife is a direct reflection of you. Amen. Come on, say amen. You didn't like that, did you? Did I tell it to you? Your wife is a direct reflection of you. Amen. So when you think she mean and she ornery and all that stuff like that, just take a look in the mirror. Oh, Lordy. Amen. God has redeemed you so you can change the conditions of this earth. You are a kingdom citizen. Better catch what I'm saying. You ain't just no church goer. You ain't just no church doer. You don't just go put on your Sunday best so you can come up here and sit down and somebody see what kind of shoes you got. Who gives a rat fat butt about your shoes? Are you catching what I'm saying? You can look the flyest and be in debt. You better hear what I'm saying. You can pull up in the best car. Amen. I remember one time I was at Christian Life Center Church, and somebody showed up and said, "Praise the Lord, we just got a new conversion van." First thing I thought about is, praise the Lord, what kind of payment you got? What's the term? How long you going to be paying? I'd rather drive around in a bucket and be debt-free than be paying for fire. You better catch what I'm saying. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Turn to Philemon. Philemon. We just laying the foundation. Philemon, one book before the book of Hebrews. Hebrews. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. We're going to have to get our sight right. You can write that down, Jason. That's what you can call it. We're going to have to get our sight right. You do need to know that there's two different types of sight. There's natural sight, and then there's spiritual sight. There's natural sight, and then there's spiritual sight. The person that lives in the natural and only see what's going on in the natural is what we call a carnal Christian. Amen. Are they a Christian? Absolutely. Are they going to go to heaven? Absolutely. But they will not have victory in the earth. They cannot be used by God in the earth. You better hear what I'm saying. A carnal Christian cannot be used by God in the earth. Carnal believers operate off of information. Spiritual believers operate off of revelation. Carnal Christians operate off of information. Spiritual Christians operate off of revelation. Information is natural sight. Revelation is spiritual insight. You got to catch what I'm saying. The person that is spiritual has the ability to see what everybody else cannot see. Now tell yourself, say, I am spiritual. I live off of revelation. You have to make a conscious decision today to live off of revelation. What does the word revelation mean? It's the Greek word apokalupto. Does it mean to take the cover off? Okay, what is the cover? The cover is the flesh. It's the natural realm. How many ever seen the movie called Patch Adams? You remember when they was in that mental hospital and they thought that guy was crazy and he said, put up your hands. And finally, everybody else saw four fingers and one thumb, but then the one gentleman, it was Patch, he saw beyond what everybody else saw. See, today, put your hands up just for a minute. You got to start seeing beyond what everybody else see. When everybody else start complaining about how high the gas is, you say, Lord, I thank you. You always supply all my need because I see something more than what everybody else see. I'm not a complainer. I'm not going to look at the giants in the land. I'm looking at the grapes. I'm trying to get my stick of grapes. You better catch what I'm saying. You better hear what I'm saying here. I ain't looking at the giants. A lot of people talking about the giants. They talking about the giants. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Look how big that giant is. No, look how big that watermelon is. Look how big that cantaloupe is. You better catch what I'm saying. See, that cantaloupe so big, it about to make me put a whooping on that giant. Hey, I ain't had no cantaloupe in a whole month. It's either me or that giant. That's the way you're going to have to get as a Christian. It's either me or that giant because I want my stuff. I want my cantaloupe. Yes, yes. You better catch what I'm saying. I'm tired of being dependent upon a man and the system of this world. I'm moving past, guess what, the natural realm into the spiritual realm where I can have some insight. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody say Philemon. Look at verse 6. It says that the communication of your faith may become effectual. Somebody say effectual. That word effectual means energized and activated. This here is saying your faith becomes energized and activated. Why is that important? Because you and I, we live by what? Faith. The believer who operates according to revelation lives by faith. Oh, my God. I could just chew on that just for a second. The believer who operates according to revelation, they live by faith. Here is telling us that our faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in us in Christ. The reason why people can't acknowledge the good things that are in them in Christ is because they can't see them. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm not talking negative. I'm trying to get you to see something right here. Amen. You will always say what you see. You will always say what you see. You will always say what you see. Well, why is it important to see the right thing? Because when you start saying, you are creating. You will perpetuate what you see most of the time, all of the time. You got to catch what I'm saying. You'll continue to create that thing that you see. So if you're only seeing natural things, you're going to say natural things. You're going to keep producing natural things. But you can be in a natural situation and you can see something spiritual and you can start saying what you see spiritual and start walking in something beyond the natural. So everybody else could be walking, talking about how much they don't have. Come on, somebody say amen. How bad their marriage is, how bad their kids is. But baby, you ain't seeing that. I just don't see that. I don't have no time to be talking about that because I can't see it. My eyes been shut. You better catch what I'm saying. I'm seeing something different than that. So now I got to start talking about what I'm seeing. I'm living in a whole nother realm. I'm living in the kingdom of God. Lord, have mercy, man. Glory to God. Your faith becomes energized. Your faith becomes activated. Have you ever had an account on the internet? We have PayPal in our church. So when somebody goes and they purchase something from, well, not from the church, but from the record label, it's kind of shut down right now, but it'll be back up next week. But if they purchase a CD, amen, and it gets on there, I got to go in there and put in passwords in order for me to activate the account. See, the password is your faith. You got to catch what I'm saying. The more that you communicate God's word and you say what you see in God's word, you activate and energize your faith. Your faith gets stronger. Your faith gets stronger. Why is that important? Because the just shall live by faith. Matter of fact, Habakkuk said the just shall live by his own faith. That means you can't live by somebody else's faith. You got to live by your faith. Lord, have mercy. 1 John says this right here, that we overcome the world. We are world changers, world conquerors, world dominators, world subduers by faith. What does the word world mean? It means the system out there. The system that everybody else is complaining about. The ashes. Come on, somebody say the ashes. That's why we start off with Isaiah chapter 61. The ashes, the mourning, the weeping, the sorrow. You better hear what I got to say right here. You are a kingdom citizen. You have the ability to totally live on a whole nother realm, baby. I done got to the place in my life where I live here. I'm in the world, but I'm not of this world. Lord, have mercy. Come on, Brother Steve, help me preach this. I'm in the world, but I'm not of this world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of this world. What is this? This is the word of faith that we teach right here. Amen. That if you will confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, it don't mean stand up in front of the church and confess him. It means to say what he said and believe what he said. Every dead situation in your life got to raise up. Why? You are a kingdom citizen. Glory to God. Man. Woo-wee. Amen. Colossians 2 and 3. Turn there. Colossians 2 and 3. Is this all right, y'all? What are we doing? We're elevating. Elevating your insight. My God. Colossians chapter 2 and 3. Now, we've been on this for three services now, and we're going to stay here until we get it. Look at verse 3. Let's all read that again on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom? Circle in whom. That means in him. Who is him? In Jesus or in Christ are hid. Somebody say hid. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I said something 2 weeks ago. If Bill Gates, through the natural sensual wisdom of man, can create Microsoft, what can you and I create? Are you hearing what I'm saying? The reason why we haven't created it is because we haven't seen. The reason why we haven't created is because we haven't seen. Tell your neighbor, say it's hidden in Christ. Well, in, circle in. You should know this by now. In is an English preposition that denotes location. Just like you are in this building, you are in Christ. Don't think you just joined up to some type of allegiance, baby. You are literally located in the person of Jesus Christ. My God. God is in you and you are in him. John 17, Jesus prayed a prayer. He said, Father, I pray that they will be one, just like you and I are one. He said that I would be in you and they would be in me. Well, if God be for you, what situation, what circumstance, what sickness, what debt, what disease, what divorce? You better catch what I'm saying. If God be for you, who can be against you? Not one man, not one devil in hell. Lord, have mercy. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, if you're just a natural Christian, as the wind blows, you goes. But if you're a spiritual Christian, the wind will blow, baby, and you'll stand firm. Because guess what? I don't move unless I hear God say move. Amen. My God. Somebody said, I had a dream that all of Michigan was flooded with water. And they've been telling everybody this for 20 years. You got to hear what I'm saying. See, that's a natural thinker. No disrespect, but that's a natural thinker. Listen, I don't care if it flood the whole state of Michigan. God will cause me to build a boat right in the middle of it. You better hear what I'm saying. You don't even want to go over into the Word of God where we can see that every time natural disaster hit the earth, it never affected God's people. It never affected God's people. Everybody talk about the 10 plagues that hit Egypt. Guess what? The 10 plagues did exactly that. They hit Egypt. What does Egypt represent? The system, the house of bondage. Guess what? Guess what? The Bible says in Isaiah 60 that gross darkness is going to come upon the earth, but it shall not touch you. You got to catch what I'm saying. Psalm 91 says, and guess what? If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and abide up under the shadow of the Almighty, guess what? It's not going to touch you. No evil shall befall you and no plague come nigh your dwelling. It ain't going to touch you. Lord Jesus. Whew. I tell you what, I just want to spit something. Tell your name, say neighbor. There's some things hidden in Christ for me. They're not hidden from me. They're hidden for me. Now turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 8. Turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 8. My God, this is good. Tell your neighbor, said we got to get our sight right. I mean, Luke chapter 8, verse 10, my bad. Luke chapter 8, verse 10. Now, this is Jesus talking. You know how I know? Because it's written in red. You guys do know that. My God, help me, Lord. You do know that Jesus is not in the business of bringing the Word of God and dumbing it down to our level like some preachers are nowadays. No disrespect. He ain't in the business of bringing it down and dumbing it down to our level. You know what I mean? I get to give you a baby spoon and just open. Oh, yeah. That ain't how Jesus operates. That's not how the kingdom operates. That's how man does. Man has analytically figured out a way how to take God's word and bring it down to a level where people who are carnal can understand it. That's dangerous, though. Let me tell you this. It's dangerous. You know why it's dangerous? Because God ain't calling you to carnality. God is calling you to spirituality. God is calling you to a higher level, a higher plane. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's calling us to a higher level. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. What is the level he's calling us to? Jesus was the sample son. Amen. He came and he walked the planet Earth and he gave you and us an example of how a man who was made in God's image and God's likeness should live. So Jesus said, this is how you should walk. Come on, when you can't get where you need to go, just step out and walk on water. Amen. When a storm comes to your life, don't talk, oh my God, I need an umbrella. I need somebody to come on my house and jump down in the basement, shut the cellar door, grab all my kids, hop in the bathtub. Ah, no, baby, speak to the storm. You got to catch what I'm saying. I told Brother RJ today that we living in a three-dimensional world, but man was four-dimensional. When man lost God, he lost his ability to see things the way he used to see them. But what we forget to understand is Jesus said, repent. That means go back to the highest level. Go back to living on that fourth dimension. Why? Because you've been restored back to your original intention and that relationship with God. Lord, have mercy. I'm preaching it.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, say, I've been restored. Now listen here, I don't care if my neighbor don't want to be restored. I'm restored. See, I told Brother RJ this today. Can I just let it out, y'all? See, that redemption plan of spirit, soul, body, and earth, we're in the second stage of it, which is soul. I haven't read this from anybody else. This is what the Spirit of God told me. We're in that second stage. When that whole complete man line up, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, and I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless toward the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He's saying when that whole man comes together When it's no longer divided, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So when the enemy comes against you and your spirit is redeemed and your soul is all thinking about who did this to you, who did that to you, I'm mad at this person, I can't forgive this person, I'm blaming that person. Now your body all out of whack. But when that spirit say, look here, soul, line up to the word of God. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All of a sudden that body line up. Guess what's going to happen? That one total man is going to come and you're going to say, whatever comes my way. Doesn't matter. North, south, east, and west, everything got to bow. When I begin to speak the word and call things that be not as though they were, guess what? Why? Because I'm a man made in the image and the likeness of God. I got dominion. Lord have mercy. Woo-wee. What does that mean? What? That's a meat, ain't it? Amen. Get your toothpick out. Just get it. Poke it out your teeth. That's a meat right there. Amen. Man, that's the Holy Ghost. Man. Look it over here, okay? We're in Luke chapter 8. I want you to jump over to verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went unto a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the what? Other side. Tell your neighbors and neighbor, I'm not staying in this problem. Jesus said, let's go to the other side. There is another side. There's another side of sickness. There's another side of debt. There's another side of divorce. Don't just stay there. There's another side of feeling weak and depressed. You better and lame and crippled. And there's another side. Amen. We're used to seeing that side, but there's another side. Glory to God, man. I'm telling you. The Wednesday be something else, don't it, y'all? Wednesday be something else. I'm telling you, these Wednesday services, glory to God. Look at this right here. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. They came to him. Do you feel like sometimes you're in jeopardy?
Yeah.
Raise your hand. Do you ever feel like, amen? And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? Now, I teach this all the time, but for the sake of just driving this thing in your spirit, you know what I mean? Like a sledgehammer and you driving something in the ground, you just keep poonk, poonk. Right now, tell your neighbor, say poonk. We driving it in. Watch this. He said, where is your faith? Now, when you read the word of God, you have to look at it and say, okay, Holy Spirit, why would Jesus, being the Son of God, be asleep on a ship, get up, and be mad at his disciples? All he was doing was waking him up to stop the storm. He got mad because they could have spoke to the storm. You got to catch this right here. He said, where is your faith? He said, if you have the faith as a grain, not the size, people mistranslate it. He said, as a grain. What does it mean, as a grain? If you plant it. He said, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you would say to this sycamore tree, get up, be plucked up, cast into the sea. And Jesus said, if you doubt not in your heart, it will obey you. When he was speaking figuratively, no. He was speaking literally. He said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have whatever you say. I didn't say it. Copeland didn't say it. Creflo didn't say it. All we doing is giving the message that he already said. Jesus said it. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have whatever you say. We serve an unlimited God. Now I want you to see the response here. And they begin, verse 25, they being afraid, wonder, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and the water, and they what? They were saying, what kind of man is this? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What kind of dude is this? I'm going to release it. We are at the place right now where people in your job, in your family, and everybody going to be saying, what kind of man is this? We done saw three major miracles happen in our ministry in the last month. Three major miracles. We're not just talking about, I had a cold and I prayed and I didn't take Tylenol And my nose stopped running. You know, Booker used to come out. But when we prayed, hallelujah to Jesus. No, we saw somebody who committed suicide, and they said basically he was dead, brain dead. Life support was the only thing keeping him. I got a phone call from his cousin the other day saying, Denny wants you to come up and see him. You got to catch what I'm saying. What manner of man is this? See, and I go to my father like that. I said, Lord, I say, man, if me and my wife and our church and all of us can lay hands on somebody that is dead and God raise them up, I know you can fix all this little bitty stuff. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Fix all this little bitty stuff. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, Wednesdays, he just be dropping stuff in me. See, the enemy use all that little bitty stuff as obstacles to keep you away from your faith. You know what I mean? No job. I'm be honest with you. My kids tell you, not my wife, not my kids, not nobody will keep me from fellowship with God. It's not going to happen. I wouldn't just be kept from the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's nothing more important. I tell that boss, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. I'm going to Adrian, sitting in that brown chair, so I can praise the Lord. I'm telling you right now. Because we are at the time where the natural is about to run out. You better catch what I'm saying. The natural is about to run out. You're going to be walking through the earth with your natural eyes closed. And if you don't have no spiritual insight, baby, you ain't going to know how to navigate and move. The just shall live by faith. The word shall is one of the strongest assertions in the English language. What does that mean? It unequivocally will come to pass. That means if God said it, it's going to happen. The just shall. So God is going to force us to live by faith. He's going to force us to walk by faith. My God. Hear what I'm talking about. You're going to be able to do a backstroke in a swamp. You better catch what I'm saying. You're going to be able to take a crow and turn it into a fried chicken. This is just the images I'm having in mind. Here's what I mean. When everybody else is seeing the impossible, you're going to see it as the possible. You remember what Jesus said? He said, with men, this is impossible. With men, this is impossible. This is the natural system here. But with God, all things are possible. Well, Lord, have mercy. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the angel told Mary, the mother of Jesus, you know, Holy Mary, Mother of God, please pray for us sinners. I'm just joking. But you know what I'm saying? He told her, he said this right here. He said, with God, all things are possible. Now, we just quote them verses. We don't know what it's saying. The word with means alongside of. Man. With God. With God. If God is with you, if you're with God, all things are possible. I'll say it again. Jesus stood up in the book of Luke chapter 4 after coming out of the wilderness, and he began to minister the gospel in the temple, in the synagogue. The Bible said it was according as his custom. That means, guess what? Jesus went there every Sunday and had church just like us. But I know people don't believe this, but guess what? The Holy Ghost showed this to me. One day, that word of God came alive, and Jesus found out, this is who I am. You better catch what I'm saying. Well, Jesus knew it all the time. No. Well, I put some revelation on your forehead. No, he didn't know it all the time. Because when he came to John the Baptist, when he got to John the Baptist, John the Baptist said, look, I can't baptize you. Jesus said, we must do it to fulfill all righteousness. He dunked him out. He came out, and then the Lord said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Then Jesus got to the wilderness, and Satan said, if you be the son of God. The indication that he was tempting his sonship is the indication Jesus, guess what, was not understanding his sonship. So watch this. So the reason why the father said, this is my son, is because God needed to give him affirmation, because he knew his sonship was going to be tested. You got to catch what I'm saying. So he come out of the wilderness, and he understood, I am that man. You better catch what I'm saying. Guess what? I'm up in here for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil must know who I am because he's asking me, can I turn this stone into bread? That's the power of a son of God. The devil knows that you can turn a stone in the bread. And then Jesus remembered that, because guess what? They were sitting there in the wilderness. It was dry. It was no water. It was no life. And he felt bad about the people. I'm preaching this thing. He said, they've been with us for 3 days. What do we have here that we can feed them? Well, this little boy got 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring it to me. Guess what? He laid his hands on it, broke it, blessed it, and he fed 15,000 people. He's a son of God. Are you catching what I'm saying? Are you catching this right here? See, when you read the Bible, you got to see that thing. Why would the devil tell him, if you be the son of God, turn that stone into bread? Yeah. What he's actually telling him, if you reverse it, if you're the son of God, you have the ability to turn that stone into bread. Man, I'm telling you, that's hot. Maybe it's just the Spirit of God speaking to me about that. Where was I at? Is that all right, Jason? Is that all right? See, the devil don't want you to get this right here. The devil wants you to stay down in carnality. He wants you to stay down there. You know what I mean? That's what we call the fall of man. You got to catch what I'm saying. Man fell in his mind. He fell in his sight. Look at Genesis chapter 3. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and one to be to desire. And then she partook of it and gave it to her husband that was with her. And then the Bible said they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And he said, Adam, where art thou? Adam said, I heard your voice and I got afraid because I saw that I was naked. What happened? His sight began to change. He began to see himself as just a mere carnal man who had no ability to speak to a stone and turn it to bread. He saw himself as a man that was dependent upon the world system, no longer having the ability to walk with God and call things that be not. We talking about the same man that when the animals was brought to him, he said, lion, tiger, bear, oh my. You better catch what I'm saying. We talking about the same man. Now all of a sudden, the man that named every insect and every animal is over here talking about, I saw myself as naked. What happened? He lost his glory coat. He lost his ability. When he lost God, he lost his insight. Here's the good news. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You have been restored. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're restored. You're no longer separated. See, I confess this every day. I'm no longer separated, nor am I alienated from the life of God. God is with me. I am in him. He is in me. His word is in me. I abide in his word. His word abides in me. Why am I confessing that? Why? Because I got to retrain my mind. Because my mind been thinking down here for all these years, and now I'm retraining that thing to think on this level up here. Here we go. Here we go. Is this good, y'all? Luke chapter 8, verse 10. You ready? We're going to prove it. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I got my sight right. You know what? When God first started speaking this stuff to me, can I be honest with y'all? I seen a dead squirrel on the ground. I was looking around, see anybody looking. I said, get up, squirrel. I command you in the name of Jesus. Get up, squirrel. Squirrel didn't get up. But I can tell you this right here. I said that to a few human beings and they got up. Didn't happen overnight. You got to hear what I'm saying. Didn't happen overnight. He said, be it unto you according to your faith. See, my faith had to grow. What I did is I saw it in the word. But guess what? It was still floating around. But pretty soon I began to appropriate that promise and I got it in my heart. And all of a sudden, as I start chewing it and making it mine, it became me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And it's still becoming me, just like it's still becoming you. Don't be afraid to walk up to a squirrel and say, squirrel, get up. Because one day the squirrel gonna get up. I can promise you that right now. We are in the time where the squirrel is about to get up. Somebody hearing what I'm saying? Somebody hearing what I'm saying? We're in that time, we're going to start living like we're supposed to live. I love Donald Lawrence's song. Let's get back to Eden, live on top of the world. We need to sing that thing every service, Minister Julie. Yes, sir. Amen. Get this old corrupted, evil system of the world mindset out of the church. Get it out of there. We done raised up, man, Lord help me, Jesus. We done raised up churches where we done brought in the whole business of the world into the church and we call it blessed. I'm going to tell you something right now. I talked to the bank the other day, and you can keep it on tape. I don't care if they hear it. I talked to the bank the other day, and they were talking to me like I was some little bitty old nappy-haired black kid. I said, listen here, I don't need no favors from you. We done got right where we are by faith. I ain't asked nobody for nothing. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to be having the world pimp me. I'm like Abraham. Abraham said, I'm let it be known today. Didn't nobody make me prosperous. Can't nobody come and say, oh, I bought the wall for him. No, you didn't buy nothing.
Right.
You better hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That system of the world, I tell you, that's how Jesus act to it. You know what I mean? Forget that. That mess going to bow to the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Corrupted mess. Taking our money, making us pay 30, 40, 50-year mortgages and investing in the porn industry. That stuff going to have to bow. You hear what I'm saying? So you got to start thinking like that. You got to start thinking, you know what? You got to look at that mountain and say, that's my mountain. And I'm about to go up there like Caleb at 80 years old and say, give me my mountain. Not just give me a piece of bread so I can get by this week. That's what most Christian is. Can I have a piece of bread? You think maybe I can have a glass of milk with the bread? Man, come on, Steve. You know I'm telling the truth, ain't I? We just happy. I just thank the Lord that he provided for me today. That's stupid. No. You're a king. You are a king. I guess just God just made me like this because I get mad. That's called righteous indignation. I'll start to say righteous ignorance or something. I don't know. But I'm going to be honest with you. I get mad at the world system. When I see people being mistreated and people who living like paupers who supposed to be princes, that stuff make me mad. I get mad. Lord, have mercy. My daughter gave me a hand clap. Y'all want some more? Tatum said, give me some more. Verse 10, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. What does the word mystery mean? It means secrets. Intimate secrets. Divine secrets. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I have been given the ability to know divine secrets. Now watch what Jesus says here. He said, but to others in parables. Now I've been saying this 3 or 4 times and I'm going to say it again. You got to be careful when everybody's trying to make everything parabolic. You have to be careful when everybody's trying to make everything parabolic. Because Jesus clearly stated, he said, I'm going to give it to you as secrets, divine mysteries. He said, but they're going to get it in parables. Now look at the outcome. He said that seeing they may not see, that hearing they may not hear. What is he saying? That you can have natural eyes but not see what he's talking about. You can have natural ears but not hear what he's talking about. Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to hit this thing. Ephesians chapter 1 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and we're going to be done. Tell your neighbor, say, give me some more. Give me some more. Tell your neighbor, this Bible study. I imagine this is how the Lord Jesus did it. That's why everybody was mad at him because the Bible said he taught as one having authority. See, when you teach as one having authority, people think you're cocky and stuff like that. No, you're not cocky. You're just tired of living on that low-level realm. I'm not doing that no more. I'm going to keep appropriating this word. You catch what I'm saying? Keep appropriating this word. You know what I mean? Ain't y'all tired of seeing everybody getting locked up? The antidote for everything, you do something wrong. See, that's the curse. That's the law. When you violate the law, you get punished. You get locked up and people stand there and judge you. You're a bad person. Now, I'm just a real pastor. I'm not trying to be cocky or nothing like that. But half the people that lock people up are at home drinking and smoking and doing everything that they lock everybody else up for. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm not teaching rebellion. I'm just teaching the truth. I'm just teaching the truth. Amen. I recall, some of you might not recall this, but I do because this stuff stay in my memory. There was in New Jersey, there was a lady police officer some years ago, maybe 10 years ago. She joined the police force in New Jersey, and then they wanted to invite her to this underground rave. She got there, and all the police officers and judges were standing on pool tables doing strip dancing and stuff, had cocaine and weed and everything all down there. And she went down and was like, my God, we locking everybody up for this stuff, and we down here doing it. See, that's the problem with the law. The law points the finger, but grace points to Jesus. See, I know I don't have time to judge anybody no more. You know why I don't judge anybody? Because I realize that just like me, I have no ability to be a Mr. Goody Two-Shoe in my own power. So I get up and I depend on grace. Because if it had not been for the grace of the Lord, ain't no telling where I'd be right now. Somebody say amen to this. Amen. 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 I told RJ today, can I just tell y'all what I told RJ? No, just bring me an RJ conversation. I've realized that the antidote to every problem in your life is just speak the word. Just speak the word. I'm telling you this. Just speak the word. Find you five or six Bible scriptures, whatever you're going through, and just keep talking it over and over again, because eventually it's going to get in your heart. And out of that good deposit, you're going to bring forth good treasure. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And eventually your outside going to line up with what's on the inside. That means if I'm in an evil situation, I'm not going to sit around and find three or four people where I can talk about how evil my problem is. You know what happened to me? It happened to you too? Oh my God. What you going to get? It's going to grow. It's going to get worse. But in the middle of my problem, thank you, Holy Ghost. Paul and Silas was locked up in the dungeon where the water was 2 feet deep. The rats were swimming through the water. You better catch what I'm saying. And the Bible said they sang praises unto God in the middle of the problem. Most people are like, hey, Paul, why you quote Psalm 91? Hadn't you figured out it ain't worked yet? We in the swamp. We in the dungeon. Paul, look at that rat that's coming at your knee. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, all times. All times meaning good times. All times meaning good and bad times. Lord, have mercy. You see some of the best interventions of God in bad times. God shows off in bad times. I said God shows off in bad times. Ephesians chapter 1. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm getting my sight right. Matter of fact, Lord, forgive me. I withdraw that. Say, I got my sight right. I got my sight right. See, even pastors, sometimes we got to correct ourselves. Amen. Well, look at this right here. Verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Glory. He's the Father of what? Glory. He's not the Father of your story. He's not the Father of his story. He's not the Father of the problem. You know what I mean? My God. God is not bound by time. God is not, you got to hear what I'm saying. God is so big that everything is in him. He got the whole world. It says the Father of glory. What does the word glory mean? It means the reputation and the appearance of God. It's the sum total of God. So you should be writing this stuff down. It's the sum total of God. All that he is in you, to you, and through you. That's the glory of God. In the Old Testament, it was wealth. It was weight. It was heaviness. When the glory came in the room, it was so heavy, the priests couldn't stand to minister. They just fell to the ground and they worshiped. They couldn't stand because the weight was so heavy. But in the New Testament, the glory that was external became internal. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image. You got to catch what I'm saying. The glory that was external is now internal. I'm about to show it to you right here. You ready? Look at this right here. The eyes of your that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. The what? The eyes. Tell your name and say, I got my sight right. The eyes of your understanding. Circle the word understanding. The word understanding means heart. Heart. The word heart there is the word cardia in the Greek, which means the intellect, the mind. Your mind has the ability to see. Lord, have mercy. You can see things the way the world sees it, or you can see things the way God sees it. You can see things the way the world sees it, or you and I can see things the way God sees it. Here, the Apostle Paul said, I'm praying that you can see God's way. He said, then after you see God's way, he said, you'll know the hope of his calling. What does the word hope mean? It means the expectation. What did God put in you? Whatever he put in you, he's expecting from you. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Help me. See, before you was in your mother's womb, God carefully fashioned you, made you. Every intricate detail about you, everything concerning your purpose, everything concerning, you know, them desires and stuff that you have in you, that stuff came from God. And religious people told us, and oh, don't follow your dreams, don't follow your, no, that stuff came from God. The enemy takes that which comes from God and he twists it. Because that which, Lord have mercy, help me, Jesus, that which God has prepared has to be revealed by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, 10, and 11. It has to be revealed. What God has put in you cannot be understood, cannot be seen with your natural mind, with your natural eyes. So it requires you and I to have a close, come on, intimate, come on, personal, come on, relationship with God. It requires you and I to walk with God as Adam walked with him in the beginning. Walk with God. Sometimes you just got to get up and take a walk with him and talk to him. You know, some people, it's good to talk to God when you can feel the presence of God. But, you know, we don't live by feelings. We live by faith. Help me, Holy Ghost. I got to talk to God when I don't feel like talking to God. I got to speak the word when I don't feel like speaking the word. Why? Because guess what? I'm another type of man. What manner of man or what manner of woman is this? I don't fall into the line of what everybody else is doing. You don't fall into the line of what everybody else is doing. Amen. I know your family and stuff come over and everybody like to sit at the table and talk about problems. But when they start talking about them, amen, sometimes you just got to close a deaf ear. Amen. Put a headphone on or something. Amen. It says, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance? Where? Where is the glory at? Where is the glory at? Where is the glory at? You mean the external glory that was came into the house and the priest couldn't stand the minister? Where is it at now? It's in us. It's in us. Boy, I tell you what, you are the most powerful force on planet Earth. I'm going to say it again. You and I are the most powerful force on planet Earth.
Amen.
We are the church of the living God. You receive it? They receive it. I'm telling you. Get it, mama. Get it. Receive it. You know what I mean? My God. One more. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. And then I'm done. Take it and say, give me some more. Okay, would y'all get mad at me if I give y'all two more? Is that all right?
Amen.
Can I get you two more new people? I'm so sorry. Just two more. Two more. Is that all right? Two more. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I got my sight right. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I can tell you right now, I know I am in the divine, perfect will of God. I love doing what I do. I do. I love it, man. I tell you, this is like eating candy or something. You know, like Greg. Man, give Greg a hand clap, y'all. Yeah. I'm telling you, you know, he be picking on poor Jason. You know what I mean? Jason. Hey, did you fill that form out yet?
He got it now.
Hey, man. I love that, man. I say, if I don't ever get up and preach, people are going to have a sense of humor and freedom. You know what I mean? Because not only do you get the information, the instruction from the announcements, now you get the humor with it. And I love that. Don't you love that? Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
Religious people come and sit down. I don't think it takes all of that. Why did they have to put a squirrel in there? They just wasted more appropriate time. They could have used the time a little bit more wiser. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I don't know if you know this, but time is under the curse. Time is under the curse. You know the devil uses time to keep us in bondage. I'm not trying to just get here, but I'm just showing you. They use time to keep us in bondage because we all, in our mind, we automatically, I got to do that. Why you do that? Because you thinking about, I got to pay the house, I got to pay the car, I got to pay this, got to pay that. You know what? Just rest. The Bible, the person that is still laboring has not entered into his rest. See, people did catch it Sunday. Thank you, Holy Ghost. But I talked about two different type of laboring. See, the laboring, working with your hands, that thing is under the curse. All you and I have to do now is speak the word of God. Now, I'm not telling you that you won't work with your hands, but you should first be speaking the word. Because God can cause something to happen in 1 minute of favor that will take you a year in slavery. Amen. People give me them excuses, you know, Pastor, I can't do it because, you know, I just got to work. They said to me real, real strong, you know, I just got to work. You hear what I'm saying? Come on, somebody say amen. I'm not telling you not to work because the kingdom of God goes beyond the four walls of this church. But, man, at some place in your life, the word has got to become first place. Well, I got the word myself at home. Well, why did God raise up pastors? Why did he give us Ephesians chapter 4, Steve? I would think that God wants us to hear from pastors. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at this. Verse 9, as it is written, I want you to put next to that an end for natural eye, hath not seen. You got to say that natural eye doesn't have the ability to see, nor ear. Neither have it entered into the heart of man. So he's telling your natural eye can't see, your natural ears can't hear, and your heart or your mind, that word heart, cardio, your mind, it cannot see the things that God hath what? Prepared. Circle the word prepared. See, everybody is such in the hustle mode trying to figure out what they're going to do in life. Because in America, no disrespect, democracy mindset, we're driven by education. And education is great, but revelation is greater. Revelation should be the format or the foundation that you build your education on. For an example, I got a friend named Abraham Sidibe. You heard me tell a story before. Abraham Sidibe works for some friends we have that do go to this church periodically called the Rindles. And he told me, he said, Big Shadow, he's a Muslim. He said, you know, the problem I find with Christianity, I said, what's that? You know, I give everybody room to talk. He said, when we were babies, he said, we put emphasis on faith rather than education. Our faith is before our education. But in America, we put emphasis, soon they come out the womb. What college you going to go to? What you going to do here? What you going to do that? Because we're focused on doing. We're focused on doing. But when they come out the womb, we should surround them. I'm trying to tell you something. I love this family called the Forever Jones. They got the most powerful testimony. They look like the Black Brady Bunch to me. It's a husband, a wife, and three daughters and two sons. They all play instruments. And every day they get up at 9 o'clock in the morning. You could go put them into Google. And they sing together and pray and worship the God for a couple hours. Worship the Lord for a couple hours together. Amen. And the Lord has prospered that family out of their prayer time. They wasn't struggling. They wasn't toiling. They wasn't striving. They were worshiping. And now people singing that song all over the world. He wants it all. There's a voice of a God. You heard the song before? This is a teenage girl who heard this in her prayer time. What are we missing when we're not fellowshipping with God in our prayer time? Creflo wrote a book called This Answers Awaiting in the Presence of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? My assignment tonight is to push you to his presence. Push you to seeing him, to beholding him. Because guess what? What he's prepared, you can't understand it with your natural eye anyhow. My God. One more scripture. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. And we're going to stop right there. Is this all right, y'all? It should be that we come to the house of God. Hear me, Brother Scott. It should be that we come to the house of God. Watch this right here. And we've been meditating the word. And we've been intimate with the Lord. And we walk through that door and I say, God, I know I'm an usher tonight, but I'm praying, I'm pulling on pastor's spirit tonight. Holy Ghost, speak to him. speak through him to me. I need a confirmation, God. I need to know the next move because I know in my natural, I cannot understand it. So I'm asking you, reveal to me some things tonight, God. Not, I got to go to church tonight because pastor's going to see me. And if he don't see me, he going to text me. he going to call me. And I keep dodging his phone calls. You know what I mean? I dodging his texts. Dang, I seen pastor on Facebook. And now I feel bad because everybody is joining on the Facebook saying the message was good tonight. And I was out hippity hopping with my friends. Come on, somebody say amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. It shouldn't be that you should be coming to church, so I got to come to church because, maybe if I go to church, maybe God will give me something. Maybe if I go to church, maybe God will bless me with a boyfriend. Or maybe if I go to church, maybe God will do this. No, that ain't why you come to church. It should be that we come here and we pull on the anointing of God. And revelation flows through the atmosphere. And then you reach out and say, that's mine. I got it. Take it home. Go home and grab your wife and say, baby, or grab your husband, or call your friend up because maybe you're not married. Say, guess what? The Lord spoke to me tonight. Do you remember when pastor said this? Well, all week long, the Spirit of God has been speaking that to me, but I didn't know that it was him. But now I know because when I came, I heard it from the man of God. So now I need you to agree with me because the word says in Matthew 18, 18, 19, and 20, that wherever two of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And whatever you ask, it will be done. So now I need you to hold hands with me and I need you to touch and I need you to agree. Why? Because we're kingdom citizens and we should be seeing some results. We shouldn't just be coming to church just to sit down and say, oh, I go to Image of God Christian Center Church. No, I am the image of God wherever I go. I'm going to finish it right here. Verse 18. I want you to read it together with me on the count of three. One, two, three. While we look not at the things which are seen. Stop. He said, don't look at them. Take your neighbor, I got my sight right. Don't look at it. I'm commanding you in the name of Jesus. Don't look at your debt. The more you look at it, the bigger it gets. Don't look at your problem. Don't look at it. Well, pastor, that's not wise to ignore it. How many know who Leroy Thompson is? Raise your hand. Oh, well, I know who he is. Very prosperous man of God. I think the population of the city in Louisiana that he lives in was like 3,000. I think his church is like 5,000 members. How do you live in a 3,000 population city and have a church of 5,000? Somebody say favor. People are coming from other cities to that little small town to hear that man of God preach. I prophesy that people are going to come from surrounding cities to hear what's coming out of this house. I decree it. They're already coming. Yeah. They're coming from Findlay, Ohio. I want you to hear this. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Ypsilanti, Michigan. They're coming from Hudson, Michigan. Amen. I've seen people even come from Detroit, Michigan. Inkster, Michigan. To hear the word of God. Watch this. But at the things which are not seen. He said, don't look at the things that are seen in the natural, but look at that which is not seen. Watch this. He said, for the things which are seen are temporal. Everything you see. The whole thing about bin Laden being killed, that's going to pass away. It's temporary. Your problems that you're going through right now, they're going to pass away. I love religiously where we say, the Bible said, and it shall come to pass. Well, what does it mean to come to pass? It will come so it can pass. It will come so it can what? Pass. This too shall pass. Whatever it is that you're going through, you know what I mean? Don't give it no attention. Leroy Thompson said this right here. He said, you know how to get out of debt? I'm going to say how he said it. Talk funny. You know how to get out of debt? He said, ignore it. Just ignore it. I'm telling you something. Hear what I'm saying. The more you give attention to the problem, the bigger it gets. Then worry sets in. Come on, somebody feeling what I'm saying. Fear sets in. Now all of a sudden, striving and struggle sets in. Now toil is setting in. Now you're trying to analytically figure out how you're going to do this thing that at one time was this big. Now you've made it this big. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Psalm 27 gives you a command. You don't have to turn there, but I will give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is how I live my life. I don't care if people don't like the way I live my life. I don't care if another pastor said, well, I wouldn't do it that way. I'm going to tell you how I live mine. Because my life was hell. So if I would have sat down and gave attention to every single mistake and problem and debt and occurrence that happened in my life, I'd be depressed, somewhere suicidal. So I had to raise my mind past what I could see in the natural. And I only had one thing to look at. That was Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? When everybody else is like, you know, you on probation for 6.5 years. I can't look at that. I got to look at Jesus. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, one thing. Tell your neighbor, say one thing. Come on, say one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that is what I'm going to seek after. One thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold. Somebody say behold. This is a powerful word here. The word behold here is translated in one translation as prophesy. What he's actually saying is that when I see the Lord, I'm going to say what I see. When I see beauty, I'm not going to talk about ashes. I'm going to say beauty. When I see, you know what I'm saying, joy, I'm not going to talk about mourning. I'm going to say joy. When do I talk about joy? When I don't have joy. You want a scriptural reference? The Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Some people get mad when I make that confession of faith. I'm not giving to get rich, but I'm giving because I am rich. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Bible. The Bible said, let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the depressed say, I am healed. Let the sick say, I am healed. Let the ones that are in bondage and chains say, I am free. You don't get free by saying, I am chained. You hear what I'm saying? You get free by saying, I am free. Come on, stand to your feet in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap.